morning, Buena Vista.
Good morning.
I tell you, it sure is good to see you, and we're so thankful for you all. On behalf of my whole family, we thank you for the cards, and we thank you for the expressions of your love, and it does mean so much. It means more than really, I think, words could even adequately begin to express. It's just nice to know that that people love and people care. I'm proud to be a part of this church, and I'm proud to be able to call myself your pastor. I know that I don't always live up to the greatest expectations that everybody may have for me, but I do promise you this, that I strive to serve you as faithfully and as best as I can physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I don't always succeed. There are moments when I fail. And I relate to the Apostle Paul regularly when he says, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I want to do, I don't. It's a struggle. You know, it's difficult. And I love you all, and I appreciate you all. And I think today's message, in part, will show how strongly I believe in our church. And this message is entitled, A Place to Belong. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. If you would, please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of His Word. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, he said it this way. He says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. Lord, I know the sun may not be shining as bright as we would like it, but Lord, I'm still thankful that you've given us another day to come to your house, another day to come and another day to worship, another day that we can fellowship here one with another. And Lord, I'm humbled by the expression of love that my brothers and sisters in Christ have shown unto me. Lord, I'm so thankful to be called their pastor, Lord. And I know that I struggle and I know that I fail regularly. But Lord, I'm just so thankful that I have a place that I can come and worship, that I can share a part of my gifts and my talents that you've called me to share with them. And Lord, I can't express enough how wonderful it is. So Father, Lord, I just pray for our church. Lord, I uplift our church to you, Lord, that you would make us the body of believers that you would have us to be, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we see how important that the church is. Lord, that we would see that Buena Vista is truly a place to belong. Not just a place that we would come, not just a place where we enjoy fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray that we see that Buena Vista is a place to belong, a place where we are truly family. Lord, Father, I just thank you so much for the blessing of family. Lord, I know that this week has been difficult for some through the loss of some of their family members. And Lord, I pray that they're able to turn to their church family, their godly family, and that they can find peace and that they can find an outpouring of love in their church family. Lord, Father, I just ask that you take this service this morning, that you use it according to your very own holy, perfect, and divine will. Lord, I pray that we would leave this place with an attitude and a heart's desire that we would go forward and share with others you, your gift of grace, your gift of mercy, and share with them how important and how great it is to come and to be a part and belong in God's family. So Lord, we just give it all to you this morning. Lord, I pray that you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and for your glory. It's all this we pray in your holy precious name. Amen. Here Paul, as he writes to the church of Ephesus, he says, "So you're no longer strangers and aliens." You know, as he writes these letters to these churches, the church of Ephesus, the church of Colossae, the church of Philippi, he's writing unto a group of people who really before Paul began to share with them Christ and Him crucified. This was a group of people who really were alienated amongst themselves because they were the Gentile nation. They were the Gentile world. You know, before Paul shared with them, there was this great decision, this great mindset amongst the early preachers and teachers of the Word that the Word of God was meant only for the Jew. And Paul, under the direction of God, sent out the Word of God into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In places like the church of Ephesus and the church of Colossae and Philippi, they were a part of that, the uttermost part. And Paul established these churches, and here he writes unto them, and he says, you're no longer strangers and aliens. He says to the church of Ephesus, you have a place to belong. You can call yourself a part of the family of God. And he says, you're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. And I'm so grateful that I have a place where I can belong. I'm so grateful that I have a place that I can call home, a spiritual home for me and for my family. And I'm blessed beyond measure that I can call myself your pastor. I really mean it when I say it, and I say it often. This is the best ministry that I've ever been a part of. I didn't say it was perfect. Don't get crazy with it. I didn't say that it was perfect, but it's by and large, the best ministry that I've ever been involved in. I have more fun and more enjoyment in being your pastor than at anywhere else that I've ever been in my ministry. Period. And I'm grateful for that, and I thank God for it. I'm grateful that I have a place where I'm no longer a stranger, no longer an alien, that I become a fellow citizen with the members of the household of God. And Paul wrote this letter as a letter of encouragement to tell members of the church of Ephesus, you belong. You have a place. And I want you to know that the church really is a place to belong. And I want you to know that Buena Vista Baptist Church is a place to belong. And Christians, I know beyond a doubt that we are all called to be a member. We're all called to belong to a local body of believers. You know, the attitude, I think, in today's world is that I'll find a church and I'll attend. And if I don't like that one, I'll find another church and I'll attend there. And if I don't like that one, I'll find another church and I'll attend there. And then there's the attitude of some Christians that they just basically commit to like a traveling church. They go to all these different places. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with traveling to churches and experiencing those things. But church, I believe in the vital importance of having a church where you belong. I believe in the vital importance of having a place where you come and you worship regularly together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe firmly in having a place where you belong and you can do ministry together. You can labor together. You can love together. And this is a place where we can do those things together and belong together in the house of God. I read a quote when I prepared this message, and it said it this way, and it's a good one. If you've got a pencil and paper, I would encourage you to write it down. Make note of it. I would encourage you to make notes from this message. It might help you to instill within you the importance of being a member of a local church. It may also help you to share with somebody else as you try to prepare them and show them the importance of being a member of a local church. The quote basically says it this way. It says, we are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family. Christians cannot meet God's purpose alone. I'll say it again. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family. Christians cannot meet the purpose of God alone. There's no truer words that I've ever been able to read in preparation for a sermon than that. I don't know the author of it to give you credit for it. It's anonymous to me, but I know this. Christians, we cannot meet God's purpose alone. We can't do it. It's impossible to be successful with God with the attitude of I can do it all on my own. It is impossible to be successful for God if we have this attitude that the local church really doesn't matter anymore. And it breaks my heart because just in the time that I have been in ministry, in 15 years, I have seen the great shift from the local church to this attitude of just serving here and there and not having an established membership, not having this established place to belong. And it breaks my heart because the local church is an important part of the community. You know, there was a time in this nation when the establishment of the local church was a place where the community came together, where the church was a center point of one's community, because the church was a center point of one's life. And it seems like the church is no longer a center point of the community, and I believe the reason why is because the church doesn't seem to be much of a center point of our lives anymore. No amen on that one? Listen, I'm just telling you the honest truth about it. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I'm telling you, our attitude to the local church is laxed. It is. We just don't see the importance sometimes of belonging to a place of local membership. Paul, in his writings in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul further establishes the importance of unity and having a place where fellow Christians come together to worship one with another. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body." Church, even though there be many, we still come together to create one body. It's important that we have many members. It's important that we have members who have different gifts and talents and abilities. And it takes all different kinds of members to make a church successful, just like it takes all different kinds of body parts to make your body function. You've got toes and you've got fingers and hands and feet and legs and arms and eyes and ears and they all do different things. But when you put all of those things together into one part, into one person, works beautifully, doesn't it? As God created and intended it to do. So the church has many different parts, has many different people with many different gifts and talents and abilities, many different callings. But when you put them all together, they come into one common place where they can labor and love in one common goal. It's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful to see what God can do in the life of a group of people who come together with one common goal to be one body in Christ. And we're created for the purpose of working together. You see, God didn't create individual Christians for the purpose of just existing out there to be an island unto yourself. God created His people with the purpose that we would worship and fellowship and love and labor together. You see, it was a problem even in the early church, because in the early church, Paul had to address the issue, "Forsake not yourselves the assembling together, as some among you begin to do." Even in the early church, people began to lose the importance of coming to church. They didn't see the value in it. They didn't see what good it did. I'm telling you that the church has a vital importance beyond anything that most of us can even comprehend or understand. You see, when the church began to go to the wayside, when people began to lack and wane interest in the church, we began to see things creeping in to our homes. You see, the church used to be a wonderful buffer that kept families together. You see, I grew up in a place in a home where that I went to church with my family, my mother and my father, my siblings, and my grandparents even went. And we all went together. Sometimes we rode all in the same vehicle to and from church. Those are the memories that I have. Church was important to my family. And because church was important to my family, church was important to me as I grew up and as I got older. And it's still important to me today. Don't be surprised, parents, if church is not vitally important enough to you that you would bring your children to church and make them come to church. Don't be surprised if as they get older, the church isn't very important to them. That God isn't very important to them. You see, the church used to be a buffer to those kinds of things. The church used to be a buffer to open sin in our community. But now we live in a world where sin is openly accepted in our community. And oftentimes it's praised. Look at them. They're a progressive. Look at them. They stand so faithfully for what they believe in. Even though it's sinful and terrible in its nature. We praise those types of people today in the world. We call them brave. We call them progressives. We call them martyrs even for their cause. You see, in a time when the church was important, we didn't do those kinds of things. We called it what it was. We called it sin. Because we were taught what sin was. Sin was sin. Wrong was wrong. Right was right. Righteous was righteous. Holy was holy. And unholy was unholy. And we mar and we mix those things together and it seems like things get cloudy anymore. We're called and created for the purpose of working together for one common goal. One body created to work together. Paul in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 5 said it this way. He says, so we, though we are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Members one of another. The church is made up of a collective group of believers who come together and make up one body. And today it seems like the body is weak. Amen? Today it seems like the body is weak. I'll give you a good example of that. In my home community next week, when people go to the polls to vote, they're going to have an option to vote in our community to become a wet community or to remain a dry community. And I want to tell you something. I believe it's probably going to pass. I believe our community will be wet. And I want to tell you why. Because the churches didn't do anything about it. Because the churches didn't do anything about it. Nobody said it's a cause worth praying for. Until 2 weeks, 3 weeks before. Nobody thought to say, you know what? Maybe we ought to get the Christian people together and be concerned about it. You see, when the church loses its concern, when the members loses its concern, things like that begin to creep into our communities, into our homes, into our government, into our school. All of those things begin to happen. Church, I want you to know this morning that you should belong to a local fellowship. You should belong to a local place where you can call your home church. I believe with all of my heart that a Christian without a church is like a sheep, is like a sheep that doesn't have a flock to belong to. You know, sheep are those types of animals where they like to congregate together. You know, like a bird. They like to flock together. Sheep, they like to flock together. A sheep on its own won't last very long in the world. But when you put them together in a flock, they've got a much greater chance of surviving. A Christian without a church is like a sheep without a flock. It's kind of like a blacksmith without a hammer. There's tons of examples that I could give. A ship without a rudder. There's just tons of examples as to why it's just a bad idea to be a Christian without a local place to belong. You should belong to a local fellowship. God disagrees that good Christians don't need the fellowship with others. There are people that believe that. I've encountered them all of my life in ministry. People that have told me, I don't need to come to church. I can go to the woods. I can go to the woods. I can go to the barn. I can go and be with God anywheres. And you know what? You can go and be with God anywheres. God is everywheres. He's ever present. God never ceases to be. So yes, you can be anywheres with God. But unless the rest of the church goes to the woods with you, unless the rest of the church goes to the barn with you, you're missing out on the point. The point is that we have a local group that we belong to, that we fellowship together with. How truly successful can you be on your own? In meeting God's purpose, in really meeting God's purpose, how successful can you be by yourself? God has given us a great purpose. A purpose to go forward and to teach and to preach the gospel, to baptize people, bring them into the fellowship of the church, to disciple them, teach them all things, Jesus says, teach them all things as I have taught you. He gives us this commandment. He laid out this plan. And I'm telling you, there's no way to meet the plan unless we do it together. The church is a place to belong because that's a part of God's purpose. And God disagrees that good Christians don't need a fellowship to belong to. Maybe you've never been a part of a local church. Maybe you've never had a strong established membership somewhere where you came and you attended regularly. I cannot tell you enough how important it is that you come to church regularly. Listen, it's not for me. I know that you probably think that I ask you to come to church regularly because it makes me feel better. Because I would like more people to preach to. That's not the reality of it. When I was young in ministry, I had preached to 10 or 15 people. I did an interim pastoring in a church for 5 people one time. For months. And Heather was with me. Do you know what it's like preaching to 5 people? Anybody? Could you guess what it's like preaching to 5 people? And all of them were related in some way, shape, or form. They didn't call me to be their pastor. I didn't get the family vote, I guess. But it's difficult. You know, it is hard. But I don't tell you to come and attend regularly because it just makes me feel better because I need more people to preach to. I don't. I can preach to 5 or I can preach to 100. It doesn't matter to me. I'm telling you, it's important to come and attend church regularly because if you're not attending regularly, I can promise you, you're not fulfilling God's purpose in your life. Being a regular attending member of a church is a part of God's purpose for your life. And God disagrees when you say that I don't need regular fellowship with other Christians. Not only should you belong to a local fellowship church, I believe with all of my heart that there's several reasons as to why you need a church family. I believe the first reason that you need a church family is this, is a church family identifies you as a believer. Being a member of a church family identifies you as a believer. And why is that important? It's important because there are some of us that need help being identified as believers. Amen? Amen. Listen, I ain't getting a whole lot of amens this morning. The more amens I get, the faster this sermon goes. All right? Get with the program. All right, there you go. Some of us have a real difficult time being identified as a believer by our actions, our deeds, and our words in the world. I'm just telling you the truth. Some of us need a place to belong that will help us go out into the world and reform our ways. Reform us of the things that we say, reform us of the things that we do, and change us from the inside out. I can tell you right now, even today, I still need help being identified as a believer in the world. God is doing an ever-present work in my life. And I can promise you this, if you make the decision not to be an active, regular member of a local church where they preach God and His Word, it's going to be difficult for you to live a life that identifies you as a believer. The local church family helps us to gain the attitude, to gain the motivation, to gain the life-changing decisions that it takes to really walk the walk and not just talk the talk. A church family does more than identify us as a believer. A church family helps us to move out of isolation. Isolation is this place where we feel like we're that island, where we feel like I don't need anybody and I don't need anything. I want to tell you right now, you needed God. That's one thing you couldn't do on your own, is save yourself from your own sin and your own unrighteousness. The Word of God says there is none who is worthy, no, not one, none who is righteous. That's what His Word tells us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We needed a Savior. And God loved us so much that He sent His Son, that if we believed in Him, we might be saved. And there was nothing about that that we could do on our own. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself from your own sin and your own unrighteousness. Your righteousness is as a filthy rags, as the Word of God says. And as such, we needed a Savior. Where we got this attitude that we could do things independently and on our own, I have no idea where it came from. Because the very basis of our salvation could not even be achieved by our own selves. We had to have somebody else come and save us. So what about it in our lives makes us think that we don't need others to be successful in fulfilling God's purpose? Being a part of a local fellowship and a body of believers, it moves us away from this idea that I can do things on my own. It moves us away from this idea that I don't need others to be successful for God's purpose. I believe that being a part of a church family builds spiritual muscles. If there is any muscle that needs to be exercised in today's world, it is the spiritual ones. We need to make those muscles strong because we're really weak. We're weak. Paul even talked about the struggle of how weak that he was from time to time. Church, I get in points in my life where I get so spiritually weak. And I read the Word of God regularly. I study His Word regularly. I prepare messages every week, and I still get weak spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And I'm not saying that I'm anything special, but I know there are some of you who don't read the Word of God nearly that much. And I'm just trying to say that as politely as I know how. You read the Word of God very little. You pray very little. I'm going to be frank with you. I don't know how you make it. I don't know how you make it. Because I get so overwhelmed spiritually and emotionally sometimes that I don't know how I'm going to make it aside from Him. We ought to pray. We ought to read His Word. Praying and reading His Word is a regular active part of any true Bible-believing church. And those are the things that will help us to build spiritual muscles. We need those spiritual muscles. Why? Because we face adversity. We need those spiritual muscles because we face hardships. Because, as I believe Peter wrote and said it, the devil, our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whomever that he may devour. Notice the key word there, whomever he may. It's not a given. Satan doesn't have to devour you. He doesn't have to destroy you. He doesn't have to do those things. Whomever he may. But I can promise you this, if your spiritual muscles aren't strong, you can't fight off the devil. You can't fight off the devil. You see, being a part of a family of God, it means more than just that. Being a part of the family of God, it really does mean that the body of Christ truly needs you. It's crazy to think that. But the body of Christ really does need us in fulfilling its purpose. its purpose to share with a lost and a dying world how that it might be saved. God's purpose was to send us out. God's purpose was to send us out to share that gospel message, to share that good news, to share how that people might be saved. You see, it's a vital part of the plan that we would go forward. It's a vital part of the plan. The body of Christ needs you. I'm telling you that this local body of Christ needs you. It needs you for the fulfillment of its purpose. It needs you for the purpose of going forward and sharing in the communities that surround us how that people might be saved. It needs you for the purpose of evangelism. I'm telling you that this local church needs you for your service in our ministries here. Whether it be the Center of Hope and Health, whether it be children's ministry, whether it be youth ministry, you're needed. Whether it be washing and folding clothes, hanging them up, whether it be interacting with people who come in to that ministry over there, whether it be the children that you work and that you serve with, whether it be greeting visitors when they come here on Sunday mornings, this church needs you. The goal of our mission, missions reaching out to a lost and a dying world all across the world, we need you. We need men and women not only who will go, but we need men and women who will support the cause, who will provide money for it, who will provide prayers for it, who will provide the support that's needed for those ministries. Being a part of the family of God does a lot. I believe that one of the greatest benefits of being a part of God's family is that as you become a member of a local church family, it provides support. It's easy to think, I don't need a local church family. I don't need to be tied down to one church. I'll go here, I'll go there. I'll get the best of all worlds. You think that until you lose a family member. You think that until you lose a family member and you go through that struggle. And then you don't have a church family that's there to provide you with love and support. You think that until you have something like a dreaded disease called cancer that so many in this church have been affected by. How easy do you think that struggle is to go alone? How easy is that struggle to go alone? I don't know, maybe you should ask some of the people here that are going through that struggle. I don't believe it's a struggle that they want to go through alone. You see, being a part of a local church family provides support in the midst of death, in the midst of loss, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of terrible news. It's a place where you can come and have other people pray for you because they love you. It's a place where you can come and you can share your burdens because they love you. It's a place where you can come and we may disagree from time to time, but in the end we'll all still be brothers and sisters in Christ because we love one another. That's what it means to be a part of a local body of believers. Being a part of a local church family is important, but the last thing that I want you to know about being a part of a local church family is this. It's your choice. It's your choice. You see, there's some people who believe and teach that there is no decision that you can make that God hasn't already made for you. And I want to tell you right now, there's tons of decisions that God still allows us to make. God still gives us a free will. You've got a decision. You can choose to invite Christ Jesus into your heart or not. You know, there's some people that would say there's no way that you could reject the true grace of God. I thought about a story in the book of Matthew that I used to quote a lot in messages about a rich young merchant man who came to Christ and he asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" Christ says you must follow the commandments. You must follow the law. And Christ listed all of these things. And he said, all of these things have I done. Okay. Then you need to take everything you have. You need to sell it and give the proceeds to the poor. And come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. He would not separate himself from his wealth, even if that's what it truly meant to find grace and mercy with God. You have a choice. I can't force you to be saved. God's not going to force you to be saved. You have a decision to invite Christ Jesus into your heart or reject Him for all eternity. That is your choice. You have a choice and a decision. That even if you invite Christ Jesus into your heart, you make the choice and you make the decision about how faithfully you will serve Him or not serve Him at all. And there are so many Christians today who make the choice to not serve Him. So many Christians who make the choice to not associate and be a part of a local body of believers. That's your choice. You can choose. But I encourage you to do this. Choose wisely. As our praise and worship team comes, and they prepare a song, we close out and we move away from a time of preaching now to a time of response. This is your opportunity where you can come. You can come to this altar and you can pray. You can pray for anything. Whatever God lays on your heart, however God is leading you, right now is a perfect time to come and to pray. I want you to know this, though. If it's a prayer of salvation, if you've never known Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if He's working on your heart and you need to be saved, you come, and I'll share with you what God's Word says about salvation, and I'll share with you how that you might be saved. Maybe you're here and you know Him, but you've never been a member of a local body of believers. You've just been drifting out there, not really being successful in your purpose and in your mission for God, just existing. Would you not make a decision this morning that you would come and that you would serve God faithfully and effectively and become a part of a local member, of a local body of believers? And here's the thing. I'm not telling you you have to do it here. I'm just telling you you need to do it somewhere. But maybe you've been here for a while, just somewhat disengaged, just sitting back, just waiting. If God is working on your heart, would you not come and be a part of this local member, this local body of believers, that we can unify together, love one another together, and labor together? You come this morning, however God is working and speaking on your heart. Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, we come to a time of response. Lord, I pray that You just work upon the hearts of Your people. Lord, I pray that You work upon the heart of anybody here who's never known You. I pray that today they'd come and they would be saved. Lord, I pray that You work upon the heart of the believer who isn't actively involved in any local body. Lord, I pray that You inspire them to come and to settle in, to have regular attendance. Lord, to faithfully serve for all of the great reasons that You've shared with us this morning. Lord, I just turn it over into Your hands this morning and I pray Your Spirit will lead, guide, and direct. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.